Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
And so God said, so this is what I'm going to have to do. You guys have jacked everything up so much, I'm going to have to send him, but he's going to have to come as a refiner. He's going to have to clean up your act. And he did, right? Jesus came with one intent, to die on a cross for our sins. He came to refine and purify us. Why? Why would he do something like that? So that God could have exactly what he'd always wanted, and that is relationship with mankind.
God is entirely holy, good, pure, and sovereign. There is no sin in him. Humans, on the other hand, are full of sin and darkness. But God, from the beginning of creation, has wanted relationship with mankind. So as Pastor Michael teaches today, he sent Jesus into the world to refine and purify man by his own blood so we can approach God. He came as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. Through belief and faith in him and his sacrifice on the cross, you're clean and pure and saved. Now, here's Pastor Michael in the book of Malachi chapter 3 as he begins his message, Fireworks.
I love 4th of July. It's something at our house. One of the things we always do is we grill. I love grilling. I'm not good at grilling. I burn everything. It's not fun, but I love it. Like a couple years ago for Father's Day, my kids got me. They went to Costco and bought this awesome mammoth, ungodly thing. It's so wonderful. And so they come over, we cook on the grill, and I love it. I'm really not very good at it because this is one of the reasons why is we'll throw the meat on there. You know, we put all kinds of stuff on there, and we're grilling it up, and it's usually something awesome that we can afford, like hot dogs. And so I'm grilling that, and or, you know, whatever. So we're grilling it, and then my wife's getting stuff ready inside the house, and you know, and then she's like, are you done yet? Everything's ready. And I'm like, okay, it's done. And so I turn off the propane and then I'm ready to eat, right? And you smell it. The grease is just like dripping off of my face and my glasses. It's precious. And so then I load up the meat and I go in and I'm just ready to down meat, you know? And so then you know how it is, right? You go into like a food coma, you just unbutton your pants, lay on the couch. When you're done, it's so awesome. Just the presence of the Lord. But one of the things I'm really bad at is cleaning the grill because I'm always so full afterwards and I just dive into the food. And so I always forget about it. And so then a couple weeks later when it's time to grill again, I open that thing up. And it's bad. There's always some stuff that's just stuck on the grill. You guys know what I'm talking about? It's like fish and some kind of hamburger and it's usually fuzzy and green a little bit. And my kids and my wife are always like, we're not eating. Like, I need a tetanus shot just looking at that. So they get me this wire scrubber. And so I go to town and I'm scrubbing, but it's really caked on. It's hard to get off, right? So this is what I inevitably do. I inevitably turn on the propane again, light that bad boy up, put the lid down, and just let it burn for about 10 minutes. It gets to about 9,000 degrees. And it burns off everything. It's awesome. You know what I mean, right? And then it's all clean again. I'm like, we can eat on this. This is perfect. And I learned this important lesson, and I learned this, that fire works. Fire works in order to get things clean, to get things purified, to get things ready to be refined. We used to sing a song in the church. You guys remember, some of you have been in the church for a little while. Remember the song, Refiner's Fire? You guys remember that song? And it's old, right? It's really old, you know. My heart's one desire is to be holy. Remember that? Set apart for you, Lord. The refiner's fire. So what I want to talk about today is we're diving into 4th of July weekend and everything. I want to talk about the refiner's fire. We get this, the words of this song, we get it from the Old Testament scripture. It's actually the last book in the Old Testament. It's the only book that was named after an Italian author. It's the book of Malachi. And in Malachi chapter 3, sorry, that's pretty stupid. Anyway, it's Malachi, I get it. Malachi chapter 3, okay? You guys with me? Right on. First three verses, listen to this. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. I believe this is a prophetic writing talking about John the Baptist. This part here, he says, I'm going to send my messenger. He's going to prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant. Notice that the word messenger there is capitalized. That means we are talking about Messiah. We are talking about Yeshua, Jesus Christ. He says he's going to suddenly come and appear, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. How many of you delight in Jesus Christ? Amen? Listen, man, we are not here to play some religious game and to get some little sticker on our chart. We are here because we have fallen head over heels in love with Jesus Christ, and we delight in him. Like we dig getting together and being, when two or three gathered together in his name, he is there. That's the only reason we crowd into crowded rooms like this. It's not because it's comfortable. It's because the master shows up. All right, okay, sorry. But he says, I don't even know where I'm at. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. There we go. Behold, he says, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. He's coming. Verse 2, but who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he will purify, listen, the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. God says, my man's coming. He's coming. But who is going to be able to endure the day of his coming? Who's going to be able to stand when he comes on the scene in holiness and in power? Who is going to be able to stand? The obvious answer is no one. Remember the song we used to sing? I can only imagine what it will be like. Remember that? And there was a line in that, and it said, will I stand in his presence, or on my knees will I fall? I love that song. But that one line I don't like, because I'm like, I can't imagine being in front of God in his holiness going, now should I stand or should I fall? Dude, I'm on my face. Read Revelation chapter 1. John sees Jesus, bam, on his face. I'm not going to be going, should I stand or should I fall? Dude, we're in the presence of holiness. And this is what Malachi is getting at. He's saying, hey, who's going to endure this, man? Who's going to be able to stand? The answer is no one. And so God says, so this is what I'm going to have to do. You guys have jacked everything up so much, I'm going to have to send him, but he's going to have to come as a refiner. He's going to have to clean up your act. And he did, right? Jesus came with one intent, to die on a cross for our sins. He came to refine and purify us. Why? Why would he do something like that? So that God could have exactly what he'd always wanted, and that is relationship with mankind. But because he's holy, because he's perfect, because he's awesome, and because I'm so lame, I can't get into his presence. So he sends Jesus, and Jesus comes as his cousin said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that's what he's done. He refined, he came, he cleansed. Amen? Amen? And so now we can have this relationship with him. And God likens it here in Malachi. He likens it to this process. To be very honest with you, we don't get it very much today in our culture. We don't understand the whole refining process as much as they did. This was a word picture that they would have grabbed onto. They would have understood absolutely what he was getting at here. But the idea of refining involved fire. It involved intense heat, and it involved the melting of metals in order to purify it. They would heat these things up. The impurities would rise to the top. The refiner then would take a skim thing, and he would skim off all the impurities, throw them out, and keep doing that process as he refined the metal. This is the word picture that God chooses to use here. And God likens this whole process to what he's planning on doing to the sons of Levi. And if you don't know who that is, probably most of us do, but let me just tell you, way back when God's people, the Israelites started, they started with a guy named Abraham, and he had a kid and everything. Anyway, God changed his name, Jacob, to Israel. Israel had 12 kids, Reuben and Judah, and only one of his children, one of his sons' name was Levi. Levi was the one most godly. He wore jeans. Wow. But the tribe of Levi Strauss was awesome. And so God set them aside as being the priest, right? He said, listen, out of all these 12 kids, the lineage of Levi, these sons, the sons of Levi will be the priests, the modern day pastors, what we would call the pastors, the leaders of that day, the ones that were responsible for bringing the word of God to the people, the ones that were responsible when the people messed up, when they sinned, they would bring an animal, they would bring it to their priest. That priest was responsible then of cutting the throat, of spilling the blood, and offering the sacrifice for the people. So this was a very important job to be a son of Levi. And this is who God says, listen, you are messing up. Apparently, these guys are bringing the offerings, but they're bringing it in an unrighteous way. And God says, before I can really let loose here, I got to clean up your act. You're not doing it right. Here's what's interesting, is that today in the New Testament age, under the New Covenant, every person listening to me, if you have invited Jesus Christ into your life, you are a son of Levi. You are a priest. This isn't just for the guys who get a paycheck to be pastoring churches or those who go overseas and are missionaries. This is for all of us. If you are a child of God, you are in the priesthood. Let me show you. 1 Peter chapter 2 says this, but you, Peter is writing to a large group of Christians here. He's not in a pastor's conference. He's talking to Christians and he says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal what?
Priesthood.
You're a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. How many of you have been called out of darkness? Like you look back at your life, you're like, dude, I was in a dark place. I was in a dark place, man. I shouldn't even maybe be alive here today. And yet God has called me out of that. He ripped me out of the muck and the mire of the garbage that I was in. And he has called me into his marvelous light. Amen. So this is for us. And if it's for us, what if God is saying the same thing today? What if God is basically saying, listen, when Jesus returns, who is going to be able to stand? Who's going to be able to endure the day of Jesus' return? Who's going to be able to handle it? I'm telling you right now, it is only those who have been purified. It is only those who have been cleansed. It is only those who have gotten the gunk off the grill of my heart. You with me?
Oh, wait a minute, Pastor Michael, because, you know, I'm a Christian and I believe the blood of Jesus covers a multitude of sins. And hey, me too. Amen.
But isn't it true also that even after we become a Christian, even after we accept the Lord into our hearts, that at times we continue to sin? Isn't it true that there is usually one or two sins that we struggle with more than anything else? You know, even the Apostle Paul struggled. This is the Apostle Paul. And he's like, listen, I love Jesus. Jesus was revealed to me. I love him. I'm following him. I would die for him. But the truth of the matter is there are things that I don't want to do. And I end up still doing them. It's like I got this battle happening inside of me, my flesh and my spirit, constantly at war. Listen, it's the same with Michael. Isn't it the same with you? Amen. What if God is saying, listen, when I come back, are you going to be able to stand in my presence? Are you going to be able to handle it? Or do you have so much gunk stuck to the grill of your life? I was reading this week and I was thinking, what exactly were these guys doing wrong? Malachi, through the unction of the Holy Spirit, is saying, listen, God's going to come back. He's not super happy. He's going to do some cleaning. He's going to come as a refiner, which is not a super fun process for you. So I'm thinking, well, what did they do so wrong? Well, look, I read to you the first three verses of chapter 3, but it tells you what they did wrong in the last verse of chapter 2. Listen to this. You have wearied the Lord with your words. You know what that means? It's like God saying, I am sick and tired of your words. Like, get past this. He's wearied of your word. We don't talk like that. God's saying, I'm sick of it. I'm done with your word. What words, Lord? It says, yeah, you say, in what way have we wearied him? In this, listen to this. This is so huge. In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or where is the God of justice? How are you upsetting God? What is he sick and tired of? It's when everyone who does evil in his sight, these Levites, these priests, these ones who speak on behalf of God are saying, you know what? That's really not that bad. God's actually totally okay with it. But wait a minute. I was looking here and it says that this is sin. I thought it was in the word. Yeah. But listen, we're into the age of grace now and God's cool with that. If he wasn't cool with it, he would probably strike someone down with a lightning bolt. I mean, hey, where is the God of justice? And I don't see him. So I think he's cool with it. God's like, you know what? I'm sick of this. I'm sick of people who are distorting God's word. You are misrepresenting God's word. You have changed it. Let me just tell you something. God absolutely loves sinners. He loves sinners, but he absolutely does not condone sin. And we got to get back to this. I know we should be gracious and we should love sinners. Absolutely. I am a sinner. Thank you, God, that you still love sinners. But may we never forget that he does not approve of and condone sin. He doesn't. And the very things that are absolutely wrong and evil and sinful, for us to stand up today in this day and age and say, hey, God's totally okay with it, it ain't cool. And over time, what happened here in Malachi's day, over time, things had gotten so corrupt, so decayed, so rotten. All that stuff just stuck to the grill. God said, okay, I'm going to turn up the heat here, and we're going to purify things. What if I told you that I believe God is about to do this today? Matter of fact, I believe he's already in the process of it. Watch the news lately. Look around our world. Look around at our country. What in the world is going on? I'm going to suggest to you that around the world, but especially, it's seemingly, in this country, we have strayed further and further away from the truth of God's word. Amen. We have forgotten it. We have skipped parts of it. We've only emphasized the fun parts. And we have misrepresented. And I don't think God's okay with it. Some of the very things, even 10 years ago, that we absolutely defined as evil, now in the church today, are being redefined. What if God's not cool with that? Is it possible that just like he did in Malachi's day, that once again, the Lord might be turning up the heat to purify this country, this church, this Christian? July 4th. We know that. A couple days. And many of us are going to celebrate our country. And I really prayed about this a lot because I don't want it to come across that I'm not appreciative of living in a free country. I love the United States of America. I am very, very grateful for it. Please do not hear me say anything other than that today. But I also believe that we as a country have strayed further and further away from God's word. And it's very obvious. And there's something called revisionist history that is being taught in our schools today. And what that is, it's revised. It's history, but it's been rewritten. And I thought, and I really prayed about this, but I thought it might be good for us to take a glance back at how far we have fallen. And I pray that this will make sense to you. And if it doesn't, just keep it to yourself. On April 26th, 1607, Captain John Smith sailed into Chesapeake Bay. It was called Cape Henry. We were all taught that in school. But what we were not taught, what you may not know, is right next to Captain John Smith, this is before he started dating Pocahontas. Sorry. Revisionist history. What we were not taught is that right next to him was his pastor, a man by the name of Reverend Robert Hunter. These guys jumped off the boat into knee-deep water, walked up onto the sands of the shores of this country. First thing they did was hit their knees, and Captain John Smith and Reverend Robert Hunter prayed and thanked God and immediately dedicated this entire land to Jesus Christ. Amen. In the 1570s and 80s, there was a writer by the name of Richard Hakluyt. He chronicled what King James, the one who commissioned the King James Bible to be written. King James was also the one who sent out the ships over to find Virginia. We call it the Virginia Charter. He wrote it, but this guy, Richard Hakluyt, was writing about the Virginia Charter. And listen to what he said. It's a little bit hard to understand, but listen to these words. It's very powerful. This is what started these guys to come here. It says, "We would vouchsafe unto these colonists our license to make a habitation, plantation, a colony of our people into that part of America called Virginia. We greatly commend so noble a work, which by the providence of Almighty God in propagating a Christian religion to such people who live there in darkness, miserable, ignorant of the true knowledge, that they may find God, worship Him, and may in due time be established in living in true stability and quiet government." Forget what is being said today, all the revisionist stuff. You know, it was all just about freedom, worship any god you want, you can worship anything, you know, Buddha, Confucius, whatever. No! Initially, what was the trip that was being paid for, who was being paid for, was to come over here to propagate what? Not Mohammedism. Not Shirley MacLaine. It was to propagate Christianity. And if you don't know what Christianity is, it is following Jesus the Christ. Now, on November 11th, 1620, the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock. The voyage, we know, killed many of them. But what maybe it's not emphasized is that the reason they didn't turn back and the reason that they pressed on and the reason that they would not quit until they got here is because they had this deep desire to have freedom to worship God. And that's what drove them on. 5 years after that, in the year 1625, in came the Puritans. The Puritans get a bad rap in our history books because of the Salem witch trials and all that other stuff. But you need to understand, the Puritans came here because they wanted to be pure. They just wanted to be pure. Do you know that they are the ones, the Puritans are the ones that set up all of our higher institutions of learning? Dartmouth, Brown, Harvard, Princeton, all set up by the Puritans. These were highly, highly godly people. And they set up those institutions in order to train up a generation of people to be highly godly people. I'm going to read something to you. This blew me away. It's a little long, but bear with me. This is taken from the application to get in to Harvard University. Okay? It's from the application. Listen to this. "When any scholar is able to write and speak true Latin in verse and prose, he may then apply. He must also decline perfectly the paradigms of nouns, verbs in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew." Guess what languages the Bible is written in? All three of those. Listen to this. "Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly press to consider well the main end of his life." Well, what's that? Well, that is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, according to John 17. This is in the application. "And therefore, to lay Christ in the bottom as the foundation of all true knowledge and all true wisdom, and seeing that the Lord only gives wisdom, let every student and scholar seriously set himself to prayer and seek it daily."
You've been listening to Pastor Michael Kraft and Burning Hearts. We're a ministry out of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. If you're in the area, we'd love to see you at our services on Saturday night or Sunday morning. We also have a Wednesday night Bible study. For directions to the church building and times of the service, come check us out online at thealpinechapel.com. Once again, that's thealpinechapel.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. If you'd like to learn more about the church and what we believe, head on over to the website. While you're there, you can fill out an email form with your questions or comments, or you can join with us in spreading the gospel through financial support. Here at Burning Hearts, we know it can be intimidating to try to share your faith. If you've ever felt insecure or fearful when you think about sharing the gospel, we have a great tool for you. It's called Something Missing, and you can find it on our website. It's a simple tool to help you get over the tongue-tied feeling and calm the butterflies in your stomach. We want to do everything we can to help you share the gospel. Come on over and add another tool to your tool bag. You never know when your opportunity will open up to share, and having tools available to you can help you take the chance. Being prepared can make an eternal difference in the lives of the people you love. Well, that's all we have time for today. Come back next time as we work together to stoke the coals of our burning hearts.